Very good morning to you all. A very warm welcome to church. It's really good to be here together. We are visiting with us this morning. A very warm welcome to you. It's lovely to have you with us. We are here to meet as the family of God, those that he's called out to follow him. We do that with joy. We've come to worship God together. We will all have had different weeks, some real highs, I know, have definitely been had this week. Anyone who was at the wedding of Josh and Sheena yesterday, that was a real joyful occasion. But whatever kind of week you've had, we are here to be an encouragement to one another, to help and support one another, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn. So it's good that we are meeting as God's family together to worship him and to hear from him. Come on in, guys. Grab a sound book as you come in. Definitely need a sound book. The observant among you will notice that I am not Aaron MacDonald. I might look a little bit like him, but I am not Aaron MacDonald. Aaron was supposed to be leading us this morning and giving a wee talk on his work over the past couple of years at Teen Ranch. Unfortunately, I think he's still at Teen Ranch, but is very unwell. Came down with a real kind of fever, gut nasty something yesterday. So I am filling in for him this morning. I'm also leading the service this evening in Glen Elg. So if you have time this evening in Glen Elg, it'd be lovely to have you over there with us. We're going to be looking at Acts 19, where Paul is in Ephesus. And Heather and I have had the blessing of just coming back from recently visiting Ephesus. So I've got some photos for you, and just it makes it all so real to actually see the places that Paul would have been. So come over this evening for that in Glen Elg if you can. Next week, James is away leading Lockaren and Applecross in their communion services. But Ken will be here leading us in worship. We have this Wednesday, in the Lighthouse Centre in Kyle. We've got a prayer for youth evening for Cool at 7:30. So if you can get along Wednesday evening, that will mean that both Bible studies are not meeting. Yes? Yeah. Both Bible studies will not meet. We'll hopefully all be there in Kyle to pray for the work of Cool. It's a really exciting time, the work of Cool. For so long, there's been so few Christian young people for Timmy to be working amongst, so he's been just basically building relationships and evangelizing to the young people. We're just starting to see some fruit from that, so it's a really great time to be praying for Cool. Bookings have opened for the Holiday Club. So if you know any people in primary school or high school age about to go into primary school, get them to book on to that. We have our congregational meeting coming up on the 8th of June to discuss the Glen Elg Church building. So do try and put that in your calendars. There is a finance committee meeting that was supposed to be tomorrow night, but it's postponed till after the 8th of June, so wait and hear more from that. I'm just going to invite Cheryl up to give a brief wee notice about our Sunday school picnic that's coming up.
It's in the notices, obviously, but we, for those of you who don't know, in years from now, we're going to Honestdale and mess around on the shore, maybe
that's this Saturday coming, so let Cheryl or Barbara know if you can make that. Let's worship God together. Our whole lives should be worship of God together, but this is a special time of the week that we can set apart to do it collectively. We're going to start with Psalms in the Psalter. So this is in the back half of your blue book on page 362. We're going to sing Psalm 100 together. In the second half of your blue book, page 362, Psalm 100. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Come ye before him and rejoice. Let's do that together just now.
In our heads before our Heavenly Father and come before him. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, here we are again today. As we have just sung, for why? Because the Lord our God is good. Your mercy is forever sure. Your truth at all times firmly stood and shall from age to age endure. As we are gathered here as a church family, we ponder on the wonder, the excitement, the expectation that we feel as we gather together as your church, because as, and in the words of the hymn, as we are gathered, Jesus is here. One with each other, Jesus is here. And it is all about you, Lord Jesus. You are our commonality. You are what binds us. We are varied and different peoples from lots of different backgrounds, lots of different interests, lots of different cultures, but yet we are here today because we have come to meet the living God. We have come to worship the living God. We have come together as a body of believers because your promise tells us that as we are gathered, you are with us in a unique and special way. In the book of Revelation, it tells you move among us as if amongst the lampstands, tending us, keeping our flame burning brightly, watching over us. You touch each of our hearts. You move us. You quicken us. We are here for you, and we are here to worship you. We want you to have all the praise and all the glory. We love you. We have come here today to worship you together. And as we approach the beauty of your throne of grace, we realize as we look at ourselves that we are fallen men and women. We are sinful. We are not like you. We are not perfect. We have done wrong, we have gone wrong, we have failed to do what we should have done, and we have done what we should not have done. But yet your word tells us again, wonderfully, that if we come with repentant hearts, confessing our sins, you forgive us. Your mercy is forever, Shua. We can believe that because your truth stands firm forever. You are a merciful and loving God who forgives sin. And Lord, you, Lord Jesus, paid the price for our sin on the cross of Calvary. So when we come to you and put our trust and our faith in you, we are forgiven and we can come before the throne of grace with our pleas of supplication in our hearts for those who are struggling, for those who we know and want to lift up before you. And Lord, we do want to lift those up before you. We want to lift our communities up before you because there are so many who are lost, so many who have yet to come to you and confess you, Lord. And we know, Lord, that for those who are not in you, it is a perilous place to be. They are perishing, Lord, for want of your word. A world that is starving for your gospel. Lord, we come before you with just the few loaves and fishes that we can bring, just the little things that we can bring to you, asking you for the miraculous. We lay before you what we can do, which isn't much, Lord. But we know that with you, wondrous things can happen. So we ask, Lord, as we for lives that would mirror you. We ask for grace and mercy to go out to our communities, to those we work alongside and live alongside, and to show them you, Lord Jesus. You are the only one who can heal them. You are the only one who can save them. You are the only one who can bring them in. You and you alone can provide that miracle of life from death. So we pray for our communities, we pray for ourselves and our church, that we would be a church that loves as you love. A church that serves as you serve. A church that gives itself as you gave yourself. Help us, Lord. Help us to be like you. To learn from you. To love like you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you provide. We thank you for the growth that we have seen in our congregation. We thank you for James, our minister. We thank you for James and Claire and the family. We thank you for each and every person here today that has come to worship with us. Lord, bind us up and lead us. Open our hearts that we can hear your word. Strengthen and guide us as we worship you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Be with us as we praise you. Be with us as we read your word. Be with us as we spend time talking to the children and for the Sunday school and the creche today. Be with them. Those little hearts, Lord, open them to your word that they would grow to be strong warriors for you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, help us. Give us softened hearts. Give us hearts that want to learn at your feet. Guide us and keep us as we worship you, that you would have all the praise and you would have all the glory. So Lord, as we gather in anticipation and excitement, we know that that quickening is only because you are with us. Be with us in strength and in spirit, Lord. Guide us as we worship you. Keep us. Lead us in the way everlasting. Forgive our sins. In your name we ask it, and for your glory in all things, Lord Jesus. Amen.
We're going to sing again from Psalm 133. Sorry, I'm still looking.
That's fine.
Oh, is it not? We've switched. How did we do that? We're going to sing from Psalm 133 in the Sing Psalms, I believe. So that's in the front half of your book. In a world that is so often full of division, whether that's just in general society, people disagreeing, people getting more argumentative. There's a word that I'm reaching for that I can't quite find. In a world that's got a few wars going on in at the moment, there's so much division in our world. And even in our church so often, churches are sometimes, should be known as places of unity, but often they are known as places of disunity. James has been away at General Assembly this week, and it struck me that there were several different General Assemblies going on this week in Scotland, all from one denomination that split up a few times and all have decided to keep their same week that they have their General Assembly. I think at least three different General Assemblies going on this week. That's not what it should be like. And Psalm 133 is a psalm that sings about how good it is when there isn't that division, how excellent and how pleasant when brothers dwell in unity and live as brothers should. That's what it'll be like one day. In heaven, there won't be lots of different divisions and groups. There will be one united voice of God's people, worshipping him. So let's sing this psalm as an encouragement to ourselves to seek to dwell in peace and unity, and to look forward to the day when that will be realized completely. It's a little bit weird when it gets to verse 2 and 3. These are maybe images familiar to us. In Israel, at the time the psalm was written, pouring oil on someone's head was a common greeting as you came into someone's house. And I've never had someone pour oil on my head, but apparently it's very refreshing. So just think of that image of that real refreshing. Maybe more an ice cold drink on a hot sunny day is a modern day, or in our society, what that image might be. And Hermon, Mount Hermon or Hermon's Hill, was green and moist. It was in a land of Israel which was so known for being dry and dusty, and there was this one hill that was green and moist. So that's the images the psalm's drawing on. So let's sing Psalm 133 together to God's praise. Turn it open to Psalm 84 with me. If you have the Pew Bibles, that is on page. Still call them a Pew Bible, even though we don't have pews. Page 595. Psalm 84. This is the Word of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. Do all the young people want to come to the front with me here? Come on down. Grab a seat down on the floor here. Are you coming down, Marianne?
Lovely.
Now, I've got a question for you, boys and girls. What is your favourite place to be? you could choose to go anywhere, you could be transported anywhere instantly, right now, where is that place? Where would you like to go? Any ideas?
I don't know.
No? How about you, Andrew? Any ideas? If you could be transported, or would you rather just stay here? Is this the best place you could possibly be? Where would you like to go, Thomas? On holiday, oh, absolutely. I think quite a few of us would love to be transported on holiday. What about you, Rebel? Where would you like to go? To the park, absolutely. The park is great.
Lots of...
Never go to the park. Never. Oh, must have both the parents who never take it to the park. Any ideas, Annie? Where your favourite place would you maybe like to go? Back to North Hill, back to Devon. No, you're quite happy here. Or to the park. There's lots of places where we can enjoy being. But the psalm that we just read there, Psalm 84, the psalmist, the person who wrote this, is saying his favorite place to be, the place he longs to be, is in God's house. In God's house. That is where he longs to be. He's saying how lovely it is, how pleasant. He almost can't come up with the words. He just loves it so much. God's house is his favorite place in the whole world. And when this was written, they had to travel a very, very long way to get to God's house. But the amazing thing for you and me,
God lives up in the sky.
He lives in the sky. He is in heaven. But there's somewhere else that God lives now. Somewhere else. God promises that if we come to him in faith in Jesus, that he comes to live in us.
Yeah.
He comes to live in us by his Holy Spirit. The psalmist is talking about a really dry and difficult land. But he says, when you have God with you, even the really dry, horrible, dusty land, it's like a place filled with valleys and springs because God is there. How lovely is God's house. So we can enjoy going lots of fun places. We can enjoy going to the park. We can enjoy going on holiday. Yes, you do. But wherever we go, God can be with us. And that turns it into the best place to be. Wherever we are, wherever God's called us in, with him is the best place to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has come to be with us. You say that with me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That means praise the Lord. Can I say a prayer for you? Put your hands together and close your eyes. God, we thank you so much that you have made a way for us to know you. That your house, that God's house can be in us, that you can live in us, and it's in you, God, that we want to live. We want to be close to you. And I ask your blessing on all of us just now, that we would follow you and live with you forever. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Do you want to go off to your Sunday school, boys and girls? Very appropriately, we are now going to sing Psalm 84. So we've read the words of Psalm 84. The wonderful thing about preaching on a psalm is we can meditate on them as we sing them. We're going to sing this in the Scottish Psalter, I believe. These are all the worship songs that Aaron chose, so I'm a bit fumbling in the dark as to what they are. But Psalm 84. Are we singing the whole psalm? Till verse 9. So that's on page 338 of the Blue Books, in the second half of the Blue Books, Psalm 84. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts to me. From verse 1 to 9. We'll stand and sing this to God's praise.
How lovely.
with you. Keep it open at Psalm 84. We're hopefully going to follow this through quite methodically. If you know Heather and I, Heather's least favourite way for me to start a sermon. If you know Heather and I, you probably know that we quite like a holiday. Heather and I get a bit of a ribbing for a number of times that we go on holiday. We just love that sense of adventure, of exploring, love finding new places, trying new foods. I just, like, that's such a great thing, I think, to be able to go and explore new places. But there's always a beautiful feeling that you get at the end of the holiday when you finally come back home. That feeling of coming in through your front door, of sitting down on your sofa, of getting to go to sleep in your own bed. That sense of comfort, of familiarity. You're somewhere that you know, somewhere that's safe, somewhere that's familiar, somewhere you can breathe and let your guard down. Somewhere where you're warm, dry, at ease. That feeling coming through the door, we're home. We're home. Particularly after a long travel day often, that feeling of getting home is beautiful. This is a little bit of the feeling that I think maybe the psalmist has in writing this psalm. He's not talking about his own home, he's talking about the house of God. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. It's almost like the psalmist can't quite find the words to express how lovely and how pleasant God's house is. He's asking the question, how lovely is it? To try and find some more words to express how good God's house is. God's house is good. God's house is the place to be. God's house is good, and it's good because God is good. And where God is good. Where God is loving. Where God is, there is love. Where God is, there is power, there is strength, there is stability, there is comfort, there is rest. Where God is, all of these things are. That image of coming home, that peace of that rest. Our homes aren't perfect. Sometimes we come home to a messy house. That's not what God's house is like. That idealistic coming home. God's house is good. And the psalmist is longing, yearning to be in the house of God. He's longing to be where God is. He's having to walk to Jerusalem to get to God's house on his pilgrimage, to get to the house of God. And he's dreaming of it, how lovely and how pleasant it is. I think everyone in this world, whether they know it or not, has that yearning. God's house is where we are made to be. So built into us is a yearning, a longing to be there, a hunger. People are hungry. People are looking for satisfaction. So often people talk about having an empty feeling or are working themselves dry in the pursuit of trying to find something, trying to find a happiness, trying to find something to satisfy them. Do you recognize that hunger in yourself, that longing for some kind of peace and satisfaction? We look for it in so many places in this world, but as Christians, we believe that can only be found in one place. If you are hungry, there is good news. If you are looking for happiness, if you are looking for purpose, for comfort, for rest, there is good news for you. God's house is welcome to all. whoever you are, God's house is welcome to you. All who want to come into the house of God are welcome. Look at verse 3 with me. Oh, if I can read. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Even little birds in the psalmist imagery are finding a little place right next to the altar of God. And if a little bird can find his way close to the altar of God, how much more can we, people made in the image of God, find a place in God's house? God's house is a house that's welcome to all. Whoever we are, wherever we've come from, whatever your experiences are, God's house is welcome to you. Jesus says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Ask and it shall be given to you. God's house is open to all. John 14, Jesus says these words, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? God's house has many rooms. We are not short on rooms in God's house. There is room for all who want to come in to come in. Jesus says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus is talking about going on to prepare a place in his Father's house for you and me. What does Jesus mean when he's talking about preparing a place for you and me? Does it mean that Jesus is going and making up the beds? So much of my childhood, I remember going into flats and making up beds, preparing rooms for people coming in. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus is talking about going to his death. Jesus is talking about going up and letting himself be put on a cross and to die. That is Jesus preparing a place for you and me. See, you and I, we had sin. We have gone against God's will. We have gone against God's way. You and me, we are all sons and daughters of Adam. Adam, that man who sinned against God. We are all having the same problem that Adam had, separating himself from God. But God loved us and did not want to see us separated from him forever. So through Jesus, he went and prepared a place for you and for me to be able to come in to God's house. Verse 6 of John 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has gone ahead of us to prepare a way, prepare a room for us, prepare a way for us to come into the Father's house. And it's nothing that you or I are doing. It is purely of God. He has done it all. He has done all the work. He has prepared the place. It's only for you and for me to knock, and the door will be opened unto us to be able to go into this place that the psalmist is waxing lyrical about, this house of God. It's not us doing anything. It's not really well-behaved people. I think the Sunday school have got a very good sticker chart going to try and promote good behavior. We don't get stickers in this life, and depending on how many stickers get let into heaven, it's not like that. Everyone is welcome, whether you're rich, poor, talented or not, whether you're a really happy person, whether you're a really doer person, everyone is welcome into the house of God by Jesus going ahead and preparing a place for us. He is the way. He is the truth. There is plenty of rooms in the house of God, and God's house is the best place to be because God is there. We want people to meet and to know the living God. We believe that God is alive and active. We believe that He is the true and living God, the God who created us, the God who knows us, the God who loves us. Our aim as a church, we recently decided on there's so many different things that we could have chosen for a mission statement, but our mission statement as a church is to be a growing church family, welcoming all to worship and serve Jesus. We want to be a growing church family, both in number. We're delighted that we've been growing in number, but we also want to be growing as individuals in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. We don't want to just be sitting still. We don't want to be stagnant in our walk with God. God is alive and active, and we want to be growing in Him, welcoming all to worship and serve Jesus, welcoming people to meet the living God, welcoming people to worship and to serve Him. Not because we're trying to create a really good organization or trying to get some glory for ourselves, but because we love people and we want them to know the best. We want them to know the living God, the God who is personified as love, the God who is good, the God who knows us. Turn with me back to Psalm 84, verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. In this life, you and I, we are, what's the word for it? Pilgrims. Pilgrims? Pilgrimagers. Pilgrims. Definitely pilgrims. You and I, we are pilgrims. This world is not our home. For the Christian, this world is not our home. We are on our way. We are travelers. Our hope and strength and treasure are not in this world. They are in the world to come. We are travelers. We are on our way to God's house, and it will be a good day when we get there or when He comes here to call us home. We don't have to wait until that day to meet God in His house. Like I was saying with the young people, the boys and girls, God has come to us. We know Him in this. This world isn't perfect. We don't know Him perfectly, but God has come to us. And Jesus says that the kingdom of God is coming here and now, person by person, heart by heart, as you or I say that, God, you are my King. I long to dwell in your house. God, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Sinful, wrong people that we are, but precious, made in the image of God. God, by His Holy Spirit, dwells in you and me. Paul describes it as God putting treasure in jars of clay. Just ordinary, basic jars of clay. God has chosen to put His treasure into you and me. So for the Christian, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, being our comfort, being our counselor, our strength, our hope. God hasn't made us wait. He has come and has met us here. This world is hard. You don't need me to tell you that. This world is full of suffering. This world is full of disagreements, of tensions, of sickness. This world is full of stress. But knowing God through all of these things makes the difference. Look at me at verse 6. As they passed through the valley of Baca, It's a really dry, deserty, barren place. As we pass through that place, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains cover it with pools. Because you and I have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us, as we go through these hardships, as we go through suffering and sickness, we do not go alone. We go with the presence of God dwelling in us, making these dry, awful places to be, places full of springs, places where the autumn rains have covered them. We turn these hard places into places where we go with the living God. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. We're on our way home. We're not there yet. We're on our way home. We're called to trust in Him, to listen to Him, to follow Him. We don't need to be good to get to heaven. We don't need to be good to have our salvation. But God has given us His law for our blessing. He has given us instructions in how to live, not as a check mark to get into heaven, but as this is the good way to live. This is how you should conduct yourselves. We've been talking about God's law a lot at our home group on a Wednesday in Dorney. I've been working through the New City Catechism, and the questions we've been looking at have all been around God's law. Ken often compares it to a beautiful steam train. You and I, we are a beautiful steam train. And you might think that in this life, freedom is the best thing we could have. It's the best thing is to just be completely free, to be wherever you want to be. But if you put a glorious steam train in the middle of a ploughed field, it's not going to do much good. The best place for a steam train to be is on the tracks, so it can pelt. I'm not sure the last time I used that word. It can pelt down the tracks. That is the best place for a steam train to be. And that is the same for you and me. God's law is the best guidelines for our life. It is the way to know God's goodness and blessing, is to follow Him. God is our Maker. He knows us and He loves us. And He wants the best for us. He is not far from each one of us. God is close to us. Verse 10, the psalmist says, "Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere." Better is one day in the house of God. If he had to choose between one day in the house of God and a thousand days elsewhere, he would choose to be in the house of God. God is the source of all goodness, of all blessing. Verse 11 says, For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The sun, the source of our warmth and light. God is the source of all blessing. And God is our shield. He is the source of our strength and our protection. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord God is generous and good. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. No good thing will He withhold from you and me. That might seem hard as we look at the situations that we face in life, but we trust God. We trust His goodness and His hand over us. And we look to follow Him, and we long for that one day when we will return home, when we will be with God perfectly. Blessed, the psalm finished, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Do you want to be blessed this afternoon? Trust in God. Worship Him. Have a relationship with Him. Listen to Him. There are plenty of rooms in God's house. you will be welcomed into God's house. This world is great. This world is a lovely place to be quite often. But often, it's exhausting. It's devastating at times. It can be filled with suffering and hardship and sadness. But what a glorious day it will be for you and me when, if we know God, when we will finally get home. We will know rest, rest for our souls. And we will be at peace with the living God. If you want to be blessed, trust in God. Amen. We're going to finish by singing the psalm on the back, song on the back of your bulletins, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Let's stand and sing this together.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear.
To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.